Hallelujah. Praise God. Saints, it is good to be in the land of the living today. And it is great to be able to say that not only can I celebrate 8 years of ministry here at Glenville as a pastor, but I can also celebrate the fact that I am alive. I have a family. I have a church family. And I'm so grateful for so many things. My daughter Trinity is passing out some buttons that says thank you from us to you. There are two types of buttons you can choose from. One says, which has kind of been my motto, when life is too hard to stand, kneel. And the other one says, trust God. So your choice on what you would like to wear. And I say thank you for so many things of being my church family. Saints, again, as life would have it, after that New York trip, I have not had time to do much of anything, but try to catch up with my entire life. We had a great time, and there's a little description of our trip in the bulletin. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss for our youth worship classes. So our young ones, our youth worship and nursery are free to be dismissed at this time. But Saints, if you look in your sermon, your bulletin today, what is the title of today's message? Being a Christian is the best choice that I ever made. And Saints, that let us begin in prayer. Gracious God, you are so good and so awesome and so majestic. And although today we celebrate 8 years of ministry, I look back upon 38 years of my life. I think about the fact that you decided to choose me, to create me and my sister together in our mother's womb, and that you decided to call me by name and to travel with me and to watch me fall and to help me to get back up. So gracious God, we pray your anointing Holy Spirit upon all of us this day, that we would see you, that we would understand you, that we would hear you, but most of all, we would accept you into our lives. It's in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said amen and amen. Praise God, saints. So that title, being a Christian is the best choice that I ever made. That says it all for me today. You know, saints, I have gone to college. I've been to seminary. I've gotten married and become a mother. I've traveled. I've had many good days and many bad days. I've been a part of all of your lives, plus many more that aren't even present today. I've witnessed many things with Jesus Christ. And I would have to say that the one choice that has had the most fundamental impact upon my entire life, is the day that I celebrate almost 16 years ago, saints. You see, today is 8 years of being a pastor, but 16 years ago, I made the choice to decide to believe in God. I made the choice to understand that God came knocking on the door of this heart and said, Kelly, I'm standing here knocking. Would you please let me in? And I decided that day to allow God to transform my life. You see, saints, when I look back over my life and when I look ahead to my future life, I realize that it's not about being a mother. It's not about being a wife. It's not about being a sister or a daughter. It's not even about being a pastor. All those things are great and wonderful. But those things do not make me unique, saints. Those things do not make me special. What makes me unique and what makes me special is the true title that I carry upon my body and upon my soul and my spirit every day of my life. And that title is, we said it before Thanksgiving, that I am a child of God and I am a Christian. That is what makes me special and unique, saints. Nothing else. And I ask you today, saints, have you ever thought about just how truly unique and special you are today? Have you ever wondered, do you really realize what makes you special? What do you think makes you special today? Do you think your degrees make you special? It cannot be our degrees that make us special because everybody doesn't have them. Do you think it's your money that makes you special? Well, as much as we all claim to be broke, we know that that's not our money that makes us special. Is it the type of car that makes you special? Well, Saints, I realize that if we had to rate ourselves according to the type of car that we drove, a lot of us would be in trouble. Is it being a husband or a wife or a mother or a father or a sister or a brother that makes you special? Saints, those things do help us feel good and better about ourselves, but let me tell you what truly makes you special today. And since we didn't have any guests today, didn't any guests arrive late? Good. Okay. I'm assuming that we're all Christians today. Amen. No one in here is still struggling with their beliefs about what makes them special. But let me tell you, Saints, what truly makes you special is that one day, and I don't know what day that was for you, but one day you recognize that you were lost in this world. One day you realize that down in the deepest core of your physical being, that the world was feeding you a lie and telling you that God was not real. One day you realize and you understood in a way like no other way that you were this big, huge sinner. Yes, yes, yes. And that none of us are really special. None of us truly deserve any special treatment. We have all messed up. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. So what makes you really special is that one day you decided to say the name Jesus. You didn't cry out Muhammad that day. You did not cry out to Buddha or the Hare Krishna or Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. You decided to say the words, Jesus, I need you in my life. You decided to say, Jesus, come into my heart and I give you my all. Now you may be thinking, Pastor Kelly, yeah, that was a special day a long time ago. And some of us, if we were really honest, we can think back and say, yeah, I remember giving my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. But then after that, my life didn't really change that much. Some of us, we had life-changing experiences, but some of us still look the same as that day when we first gave our hearts to Christ. So here is my question for all of us today. If you don't take anything else out of this message, take this. How can we be Christians and nothing really changes about our lives? How can we really say, I am a Christian and we are the exact same as we were whatever day that was, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever it was for you. You know, I am so encouraged by your words of support that you often give to me. And I've listened to you all say, Pastor Kelly, you've grown so much. And I've been encouraged when you say, even your preaching has gotten better. Praise the Lord that you all don't have to be bored to death up here with me. I've heard you say, Pastor Kelly, you've had an impact on our youth and you're doing so much, and I appreciate all your words of encouragement. But here's my next question to you today. What have you said about yourselves? What have you said has changed about you? Have you ever said, wow, look how much I'm studying the Word of God today? Have you ever said, wow, I've attended every single Bible study I can get to today? Have you ever said, my attitude is better? I'm not yelling, I'm not mean, I'm not that crazy maniac person who's going off on everybody because I'm a Christian. Are you any different today, Saints, than you were when I first got up to preach? Are you any different today than when Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby first got up to preach? You see, Saints, we can look at each other and we can try to understand each other, but if I've learned anything in these past 8 years about being a Christian, about being a pastor, is that being a Christian means something, Saints. Being a Christian means something. You know, Saints, one of the largest things that I learned about us as Christians is that even though we understand that being a Christian means something, we go about our lives as if there is nothing special about any of us. You see, Saints, I realize it's not often that we're bragging to our friends about being a Christian. We brag to them about what groups we belong to, what concerts we've been to, but we don't brag to them about being a Christian. We try to keep that on the down low. We don't go to work and tell our coworkers, you know what? Church was absolutely the best part of my life this week. We go to church and we go to work sometimes and we act so bad that people don't even know we're Christians. You see, saints, we don't realize that being a Christian is so special and unique that it draws us out to talk to strangers and say, you know what? There's something so valuable about being a Christian that you need what I got. You need what I got. You see, saints, if we think way back in the day to the biblical days, being a Christian meant something. Being a Christian was life-changing. Being a Christian meant that we stepped away from the way that the world did things and said, we're going to do things the way that God does things. Think about it, saints. If you went back into the Bible days, you would have never heard a Christian say, you don't have to pray. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Moses, Sarah would have never said you don't have to read the Bible in order to be a Christian. Can you imagine Moses, Noah? You know what? Y'all don't read that Bible. You don't need that to be a Christian. The disciples themselves would have never said you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ to get into heaven. Can you imagine Peter and Paul standing here telling us there are many paths to get to heaven? You can go each with whatever direction you want to go. John and Peter, the disciples, would have never said there are many ways and many paths to get to heaven. Can you imagine anyone in the Bible saying you don't have to go to church ever, or you only have to go on Mother's Day and Easter and Christmas? You see, saints, there was a time when a Christian understood what it means to be a Christian. And I want us to get real deep into this idea of what it means to be a Christian. You see, Christians of 2,000 years ago, and I've been working through this book called Water from a Deep Well. And it talks about the Christians from 2,000 years ago. And it says in this book, they read the same Bible that we read. You see, a lot of people think our Bible has changed so much and it's so different, saints. But the same Bible that we read and understand today is the same Bible that they read. They worship the same God. The same God that we worship. They fellowship with the same Lord and the same Holy Spirit that we fellowship with. So here's the next question. How is it that we of today can come up with a different understanding of what it means to be a Christian than they did? You see, back in the day, being a Christian to them meant that you took some time to pray every day. Being a Christian meant that you studied the Word of God. Check this out. They were so deep that they memorized the whole thing solid. Isn't that great? Being a Christian meant that you understood Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. There was no questions about it. Being a Christian understood that you knew you had to go in your pocket sometime and pull out your tithe and offering. They would walk miles to pay their tithes and offering. Being a Christian meant that they understood the importance of going to the church. They never questioned whether or not they had to show up. They took them, the family, the kids, the animals, everybody got to the church. Being a Christian meant the importance of sharing the gospel and being willing to give your lives to die for something you believed in, to die for the cause of Christ. And you see, all those things are wonderful, saints, but being a Christian meant one more thing. Say one more thing. I want us all to meet a man named Cornelius, and he's introduced to us in the book of Acts chapter 10, and I want you to read this verse 2 with me today. It says, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and pray to God regularly. So he was a person that we would describe as getting it all right. He gave generously. He was devout. He prayed. He was God-fearing. He was doing everything that he thought it meant to be a Christian, but he was missing one part. You see, the Christian walk encompasses all these things that we are speaking about: the prayers, the Bible study, the believing, the tithing, going to church, dying for Christ. But there's one more thing. Say one more thing.
One more.
I'm not ready to tell you that, though. Got to read with me in Acts again, chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The one more thing, saints, the one more thing is that even though he was praying, even though he was tithing, even though he was coming to church, and he was a God-fearing man, he needed the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, saints. Jesus said, I am leaving with you the Holy Spirit. And it's poured out amongst all of us, the Jews and the Gentiles. But you see, saints, today we get Christianity confused with being some kind of fuzzy feeling. Being a Christian isn't believing that all ways lead to Christ. Being a Christian doesn't mean all ways get to the path of heaven. Being a Christian is not optional, saints. Being a Christian doesn't mean we keep our money in our pockets and watch our church start to die. Jesus said, give all that you have, all that you have, and sell it and give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Being a Christian doesn't mean we get our gold crosses around our necks and think we're doing something, saints. Being a Christian is this understanding of just how deep the spiritual life really is. It's about grasping that our power, saints. Did you realize you got some power today? You have power. And that power is not in your own abilities. If you think you can do this on your own, Satan has already won in your life and is deceiving you. Your power is not within yourself, but through the power of the Holy Spirit that baptizes you. You see, we know about the Father. We get the Son. But we often forget about that third part of God, the Trinity. The Trinity that says, I left a Holy Spirit that will give you your power and your source of life as a Christian. Saints, you want to know why today your Christian walk may seem a little dull or seem a little boring or You don't have much going on right now? It's because you have neglected the Holy Spirit in your life. You see, we are so busy trying to figure out how to get more money. We're so busy trying to figure out how to get a better job. We're so busy trying to figure out how to fix our relationships, saints. But church is not a how-to manual. It's not a how-to manual. We cannot do this by ourselves. You want to know all the answers to your life and how to do anything you need to do? Grasp on to the Holy Spirit in your life. Get that Holy Spirit so deep in you and around you, above you, below you. It's about relying and having faith and trusting in God. Where's that button? Trusting that God said, I am with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Saints, I believe that as Christians, we are missing out on just how deep and how wide and how far. Not how much God loves us, but how deep and how far and how wide we can go with Jesus. You see, many of us remember that day we gave our lives to Christ, and it's kind of like I imagine it that, you know, we got invited to the mansion of heavens. And Jesus said, come on in. I got so much to show you. There's so many rooms for you to explore. There's so much for you to see. But we just decided, no, Jesus, I'm going to hang out here on the porch. This is good enough for me. It's like Jesus is saying, I have opened up the pearly gates of heaven, and I want you to come in. Do you know I want you to explore the vastness of the universe with me? And we have said, you know what, I'm just going to hang out here by the gates. I got in. I'm a Christian. That's good enough for me. But God is calling us to a deeper level with him, a wider level with him, a further level than we have ever experienced. We're going to look a little bit quickly at Psalm 1. And I believe, saints, that as Christians, we get tossed about by the world with our beliefs. Monday, we believe this. Tuesday, we believe that. Wednesday, we watch something on TV and we grasp onto that. Thursday, we listen to something on the radio and we grasp onto that. But saints, read this from Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. This is the very first scripture I ever memorized, and I hang on to it my whole life. Read verse 1 with me. Blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Leave that up there for a second, Terrence, please. Thank you. It says, blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked. Instead with the wicked. We are so quick to get our advice from any and everybody. We don't care if they're a Christian or not. Most of the folks on TV are not Christian and have said so. But yet we are running to them to get our advice. When it's time, that's why I love that button, to get on our knees and get our advice from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Get our advice from reading this Bible. Get our advice from coming to Bible study. Get our advice. You all need to be here this Friday at Spiritual Journey. Saints, because this is about a group who says, we are going to go deeper than we've ever thought we can go before. Men, get involved in men who excel. We're trying to go deeper than we've ever gone before, to stop getting our advice from the wicked and get our advice from God. That verse also says that we do not stand in the way that sinners take. Do you know which way you are going today? Which way? Which direction? You see, most of us think that we are going the way of God. But if we get real honest today, if you are not praying, if you are not reading the word, if you are not attending church on a regular basis, if you are not fellowshipping with believers, if you are not digging deep in your pocket and giving some tithes and offerings, if you don't understand a little bit about what it means to suffer like Jesus suffered on that cross, and if you don't know what the power of the Holy Spirit feels like on you, you are not going the way of God. And I will not bend to that or sway from that. You can come up to me later and say, Pastor Kelly, you really don't need to pray that much. You really don't need to read the Bible. And I'm going to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because this is what Jesus has told all of us to do. Not some of us to do. All of us to do. You see, that scripture also says, do not sit in the seat of the company of the mockers. Who are you sitting with today? Who are you sitting with when you are driving in your car? Who's right there next to you in your car? Who's at your dining room table sitting with you, or your kitchen table? Who's at your workplace sitting next to you? Matter of fact, who's sitting with you right now? If you're not saying Jesus, you need to get up and move. Jesus should be the one we're in company with, who's sitting with us. Let's move on a little bit more in this psalm, because this psalm is so deep, y'all. Look at verse 2 with me. It says, but who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night. Do you get excited about picking up your Bible? Do you get excited about learning the word of God? Saints, have you ever looked at the Bible and said, whoa, Jesus, I just didn't even know that was in there. You've taken me so deep, so far. the month, not just when you come to church on Sundays, not just when you feel like it or your life is hard, day and night. This is where my favorite verse is. Look at verse 3. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You see, saints, when we get this concept of what it truly means to be a Christian, we understand that we are like trees planted by streams of water. We are like these trees, and trees don't move. They may sway a little bit, but they stay right where they are. And what's special about being a Christian is that because of this power and presence of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit, Christians grow deep roots. Deep roots is like being a tall oak tree. Have you ever known anything about a tree? Because as tall as a tree is, it's as deep as the roots grow down. You see, when you're a Christian and you have deep roots and you're like that tall oak tree, no matter what comes your way, nothing will knock you down. No matter what comes your way, nothing can kick you over. Nothing can tear you apart, saints. Because you see, those deep roots go down to the water. It says the streams of water. And if we remember what Jesus said, I am the living water. If you just drink a little bit of me, you will never thirst ever, ever again. You see, Christian saints who understand what it means to be Christians have that deep roots which touch the water, which touch the life. And then our leaves do not wither. You see, saints, what I really truly enjoy about being a Christian is that although we experience physical death, we will never experience spiritual death. We will not die. If you thought you were going to die today, wake up, saints. You may close your eyes and go to sleep. But then if you know Jesus, you're going to wake up right in his presence. We will not wither and die. We will have eternal life. Then that final part says, whatever they do prospers. You see, saints, I don't want you to start rubbing your hands together thinking about all the money you about to get in your pocket. No one here probably is going to get the lottery today. Maybe God might send us a windfall of money, but that windfall is going to come right out of these pockets in this building. You see, saints, what we understand about being a Christian is that we have already won the victory. We are already prospering. We don't need to worry about yesterday or today. All we need to do is focus on the future because God has already won for all of us. So here's our final problem and our final situation, and I'm wrapping up this message. And I've talked to all of us today. And we all said we were Christians in this building today. And on my anniversary, I wanted to reflect upon what is truly special about my life. You see, I already said it. Being a pastor is great. Being a mother is so special to me. Being a friend to all of you has been the best part of my life. Being a wife, man, Terrence, 10 years. So many of us give up too soon. Too soon. But the longer you're together, the more you're forgiving of each other, the more you love each other, the more you try, the more you get out of it, saints. It's almost a pleasure to argue with Terrence now because the making up is so good. All those things, those saints, being a wife, being a mother, being a friend, being a pastor are great. But again, the best choice that I ever made, the best decision that I ever made was when I chose Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So here's my question. Some of us in here claim that we know Jesus. But honestly, some of us in here are pretending. And we really don't know God the way we need to know God. Are we ready to get serious today? Are you ready to just see how deep and how far and how wide the Lord is waiting to take you? But even better, are you ready to be baptized by that Holy Spirit power? You see, you can remember that day when you went down in the water and came back up. But do you remember that day when the Holy Spirit came upon you and changed you, and you were unable to go back to the life you came from? You were unable to choose the way of the world anymore. You said it is only one way, and that is the way of the cross. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are so good, so awesome, so wonderful, so majestic. And you look down upon all of us, and even though we were not worthy, and even though we are the worst sinners, Lord, and some of us, all of us have done some dirt so deep and so ugly and so amazingly wrong, and we didn't deserve you at all. But gracious God, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for all of us, Lord Jesus. But we know, Lord, right now there are some Christians in our midst who still don't get it, who still don't understand. And even those of us that understand and get it, we just can't even fathom how far you still have to go with us, Lord Jesus. That this is just the beginning. We haven't even explored the depths of your mansion, the depths of your heavenly gates. So gracious God, we pray your Holy Spirit, that all of us would feel your Holy Spirit power right now, this day. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.